Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
All right. We are about to be joined in studio by Tariq T.K. Johnson, and this is a wild story. When I was arrested at the Capitol in January of 2020, it was Officer Johnson that was there and ordered my arrest that day. That's him in the video right there calling it in. Now, he has since left the Capitol Police. He has also testified as a January 6th whistleblower. And now, I'm proud to say, is even a fan of the show. And so it was a crazy merger of worlds. He didn't even realize that that was me until recently when I reshared that video. And he reached out saying, I can't believe that's you. I didn't even realize that. I'm a follower of you on X now. And he's been blowing the whistle on what he witnessed as a member of the Capitol Police on January 6th. And so we're going to talk about that, just a crazy meeting of the minds here, talk about D.C., talk about where he's at politically after working in D.C., what he sees there. So that's all coming up as he's about to join me in studio. He didn't get completely ruined by the traffic, so he made it in time. This is a short compilation, a short cut of that process that day. And just for context, and I'll bring this up with him as well, the day before, exact same spot in the Capitol, you had 40 anti-Trump protesters there. They were not arrested, but I was. So we'll get his opinion on that, as well as some other aspects from that, January 6th, and then just generally speaking, D.C., why he decided to leave the Capitol Police and become a whistleblower. But here's the moment. This is the moment. Officer Johnson calling for my arrest.
Consider an active demonstration, and if you don't cease and desist, you'll be arrested.
Sir, the impeached Trump protesters come here every single day. We saw them here. We actually confronted them. Is there a reason why they aren't arrested every day?
What if I just get rid of the sign and hold this?
That's a different story, right? That, holding up the sign, that's a sign of demonstration. But you can't bring any demonstration activities in the Capitol building whatsoever. It's a demonstration-free zone.
How come the impeached Trump protesters are allowed to be out here every day? We saw them the other day. They were standing out here. No one came up to them. Is there a reason?
You don't have to arrest me, then.
Okay, calm down. Don't want to go to jail.
No, I don't want to go to jail, but if this is how free speech is going to be violated and you want to arrest me in front of all these people, go ahead.
Absolutely.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
No, not yet. We just warned. I'm going to give you a free warning.
No. Arrest me in front of all these people so they can see the citizenship in this country. Go ahead. I want everybody to see the censorship in this country. Impeached Trump protesters come here every day and have never been arrested. But I'm arrested today because I have this sign. That's the attack on free speech in this country. That's the two-tier justice system that we're dealing with. If you're an impeached Trump liberal Democrat protester, you get to come here every day with no consequence. But I have security all over me because I'm standing here silently. And if that doesn't show you the attack on free speech,
sir,
if that doesn't show you the two-tiered system, I don't know what will.
Unit 405.
How many warnings do you give to the impeached Trump protesters when they come here today? How many warnings do you give to the impeached Trump protesters? How come the impeached Trump protesters are allowed to come stand out here,
sir, are you going to put your sign
and he cannot silently stand here?
Are you arresting me in front of all these people here today? And if that's what you guys want to do, then that's what you want to do.
Gentlemen, no one can answer me. How come the impeached Trump protesters are allowed to stand out here and he's not? Can I get any comment on this?
Sir, are you going to put your sign away? Do you guys think I should put my sign away?
Watch the American Journal weekday mornings, 8 to 11 central at band.video.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
The silent majority
is no longer silent.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Please stand by for further details. We return you now to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey,
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm Dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, and he had that dark MAGA hat on, I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexshowstore.com. But I personally like this one, murdered out, it fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like murdered out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and t-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexjonesstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again murdered out, and we've got the Save the Frogs, over 50 designs, all at thealexshowstore.com, and it keeps us on air and it spreads the word. Please go to alexshowstore.com and get your Patriot gear.
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
You're going to arrest me for doing exactly what they did? Well, I guess we're going to find out.
But if this is how free speech is going to be violated and you want to arrest me in front of all these people, go ahead.
Absolutely.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
No, not yet. You just warned us. We're going to give you a full
screen. No. Arrest me in front of all these people so they can see the censorship in this country. Go ahead. I want everybody to see the censorship in this country. Impeached Trump protesters come here every day and have never been arrested. But I'm arrested today because I have this sign. That's the attack on free speech in this country. That's the two-tier justice system that we're dealing with. If you're an impeached Trump liberal Democrat protester, you get to come here every day with no consequence. But I have security all over me because I'm standing here silently. And if that doesn't show you the attack on free speech, if that doesn't show you the two-tiered system, I don't know what will. You're arresting me in front of all these people here today. And if that's what you guys want to do, then that's what you want to do.
Sir, are you going to push your sign away?
Do you guys think I should put my sign away or no? Do you think they should arrest me in front of you guys right now? What do you guys think?
So is this your last one? Is your last and final one? Will you put your sign away and stop them?
Do you guys tell the impeached Trump protesters the same thing? I'm just asking. I just want to know. You don't want to play with me. I'm just standing here. So there you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Another Trump supporter receives second-class citizen treatment. Another conservative receives second-class citizen treatment. If you're an impeached Trump protester, you can come out here and protest and demonstrate all day long. But if you're Owen Schroyer, they arrest you. So there you go.
All right.
So there they are, hauling me off to the D.C. gulag. And one officer, and I got to say, when you watch that video and the whole process, it was Officer Johnson, Tariq Johnson, joining me in studio now. He was trying, he didn't want to arrest me. He gave me like three warnings. You could tell he was like, please, just another warning, please. And I refused. I was being stubborn. I wanted to make the point. And I think the point was certainly heard. But this is incredible. So Tariq, Officer Johnson,
Well, I was a lieutenant at the time.
Okay, you were a lieutenant at the time, and that's important because it kind of determines who has the power, who has the say in the process. Joins me now. This is the first time we've ever met since that arrest. The story is kind of wild. When I reposted that video, you weren't even aware that that was me that you were arresting that day. So I want to talk about that day. I want to talk about January 6th, and then we'll talk about just general election stuff leading up to this. But here's the story for that day, and here's why I did that. The day before, and I'm sure you know this, you worked there. The day before, I was in the same spot at the Capitol, and the crew can probably find the video somewhere buried in the archives, and there were probably 20, 40, I don't remember, a bunch of anti-Trump protesters, and they were there all the time. And so I was like, okay, well, if the anti-Trump protesters can demonstrate out here, I'll do a demonstration and let's see what happened. And of course, I was arrested. They were not. Why is that? Why is that? Other than just the blatant, you know, two-tiered system of justice. I mean, how does that actually happen? Are there orders coming down from the top? How does that actually play out where they can do that and I can't?
Well, I would like to actually see that clip.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. They'll find it. We got plenty of time. They'll definitely find it by the end of the segment.
Yeah, so I'd like to see the clip, and then I can probably tell you what occurred or why those people didn't get arrested. In your case, it was a little different. You had the three warnings, and after that, that was it. So it's disorderly conduct, and under that statute, there's a what we do is a lieutenant or above, which was me. If you look at the video, like the officer was going to arrest you immediately. I don't know if you know
that was the taller white guy.
That was him. Yes.
Yeah. So, and he looked like a newer guy, younger guy.
He was a newer guy. So I told him, no. I said, I'm going to give him three warnings. So and that makes the case stronger in court because you don't want to when you arrest somebody, you're taking their freedom. And it's a big deal. So you don't want to do it if you don't have to. And that's why, you know, we do the three warnings. So just to make sure that you know what's going to happen. So that's why I gave you the warnings like that. And I told you that if you continue, if you didn't cease and desist, you would be arrested, and you kept going. And then, because I didn't want to arrest you, you know, but I had.
Yeah, you could tell. You kept giving me the warnings, and I was stubborn because I was trying to make a point. And then there was some other stuff that developed after that that we can bring up, too. And we'll show that video. Here's a question I would have, because you said you might be able to answer some of these questions. You might not. What's crazy is, and the same reporter that was filming that was there for this, too. When I walked into the Capitol that day, now I was arrested for disrupting a congressional hearing. I forget the actual charge. A month before that, maybe a month and a half before that, that was not in the Capitol. That was in a different congressional building where they were having one of the Trump impeachment hearings.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got arrested for that, which again, most of the time you guys will just detain and release. I actually got arrested, charged, and went to the D.C. jail. And so that's a whole nother double standard, but you weren't involved in that. But I'm guessing that's why when I went to the Capitol that day, and I wasn't banned from the Capitol, I was just waiting trial at that point. There was no probation or anything. I received my citation, and I was just in the process of waiting for trial. When I went to the Capitol that day, the police officers at the door, like, I could tell they knew something was up, because when I walked to the door and you go through the screening process, they kind of, like, went like this and were taken aback and then looked at each other like, and they're like, Mr. Schroyer? And I was like, yes. They're like, you can't go in there. I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, We can't let you in there. I'm like, I'm not on probation. There's nothing that says I can't go in there. They're like, well, we're going to arrest you if you go in there. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not here to. And so they were like, okay. And they wanted me and took me in. Why? Do you have any idea why that might have happened?
Are you saying that when you walked in the Capitol?
Yes.
That same day, that day when I had you arrested?
Yes.
It's possible that they recognize you because. It's crazy because I remember back during those times, I never even heard of InfoWars until, you know, much later. But people actually watched that. Capitol Police officers watched it, and some of them told me about it. So they recognized you, and they probably know that you were arrested recently and just was surprised that you were back. Sometimes they put stay away orders on people who have been arrested not to come back. I don't know if you had one, but probably not, because that would have been another violation. But they could have thought you had a stay away order, and that's why when you.
So they did try to get a stay away order after my first court date. I did mm-hmm. not have one at that time, but based off the vibe from those officers, it was like they were warning me. Mm-hmm. It was like they knew, like, hey, people want you arrested. You shouldn't go in there. And I was like, hey, I'm going in here, and they were like, all right. So that was kind of the process. So you think it was more people who just knew who I was and were maybe trying to stop me?
Yes, I think it was one. or they recognized you and they didn't know if you had an active stay away order. They could have probably, after you came
got
in,
you.
They processed you in, they could have called down to the detail office to see if you had any active stay away orders. They could have did it over the radio. I don't know. You know, I didn't know who you were back then. You know, so I would say they probably recognized you.
Now, here's another question, and this deals with my the original charges that I was facing. Again, I think it was disrupting a congressional hearing or whatever. This happens quite often. You guys deal with protesters quite often. They get into these hearings. They stand up. They make a scene. One high-profile case that we looked into would be David Hogg. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's an anti-gun activist. No. He's a big anti-gun activist, and he's disrupted Congress. Oh, yeah, there's the clip. Okay, so beautiful. So this is the clip of all the anti-Trump protesters there from the day before. Mm-hmm. Folks, you can see on the screen here, that's the exact same place. So we'll let this clip play out, and I'll ask you the question, because it all ties in.
Mm-hmm.
There they are right there. So why is it, because we looked into this dealing with my case, facing my charges and the jail time and everything, most people who disrupt congressional hearings do not actually face charges. They either get dropped or they just get detained and released. The officers that day... not this day, the day before when I disrupted the impeachment hearing, they were going to release me. Somebody got onto their walkie and said, no, don't release him, charge him. Is that a common thing? Because from our research preparing for this case, we couldn't find these charges sticking. Most people that disrupt, unless they're known to do it multiple times, singular offenders, usually the charges were dropped and they just get detained, a warning, and then they're told to go on their way. Not with me, though.
So I guess I have a couple of questions. The first one, you said that when they were arresting you in the Senate hearing, is that what you were talking about?
It was a House hearing. Yes, that's the one. That was in December of 2019. So it was a month and a half before the arrest that you made.
Okay, so and I'm pretty sure when they arrested you, they didn't give you three warnings like I did. They probably yes, because they don't do that. You'll get one warning.
I didn't even get one warning. I gave myself up. I stood up and said the impeachment was BS. It was about a 40-second disruption. And I cooperated. I said, yeah, I know. You guys got to get rid of me. And I just walked out with them. Mm. And they were about to release me. I mean, they took me outside of the hearing room. They put me in cuffs. They walked out. They took me outside of the building. And they were about to release me. The cop was literally walking over with the key. And they were going to release me. And then somebody got on their walkie-talkie and said, no, you're charging him. You're taking him to jail.
Yeah, they had to do that because after you disrupted that committee hearing, then that's when they took you out. And then I don't know why the officer was going to let you take the cuffs off, but, you know, per our regulations that after they had already taken that position, they had to finish it out and take you to the process.
So, okay, so guys, put the Trump protesters back on the screen because this is the black and white question of it.
Mm.
Do you believe that there is a political application or political favoritism about who gets to protest at the Capitol and who doesn't? This is when they're dispersing because they got afraid that I showed up. But if you show it earlier, yeah, there they are. Do you believe there's a political application of who gets to protest in the Capitol, who doesn't, who gets to disrupt hearings and not get charged, and who does?
Now, that's a complex question. So now, in this particular situation, I don't see any... officials around, like there are no officers. I don't see anybody here. So from the looks of it in this particular frame, there was nobody to arrest them. There was nobody there.
How many officers were on the scene when I was there? Like five?
Yes. And sometimes
like a whole army to take me out.
In the CVC, sometimes it's a big building and you know, oh, I see an officer. Is this
that is that day. Okay. That is that day. They removed me mm-hmm. for trying to talk to them. They removed me. So again,
and the other thing is too. Do we know if they were part of a group with a congressperson? Sometimes congressmen bring people in and they do those things. Sometimes you have events set up by congressmen. So that could have been set up by a congressman for that particular situation.
Does the congressman, or because there were no congressmen or women on the scene.
No,
I do
sometimes,
know that.
Sometimes they're not even there.
So they don't have to be there.
Sometimes they have one of their staff members bring people in, take pictures, and do stuff like that. Sometimes.
So that's like the end around.
Yes, because if a member of Congress brings a group in and
okay,
then, yeah, so
that actually answers the question, because what happened when I showed up, because they were there all day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I knew they were there, that's when I was like, okay, let's go shoot a video. And we did the whole introduction and I walked down the stairs. That actually makes sense because after I showed up and just was trying to talk to them, when they dispersed, somebody gathered them all around and then they actually went into the proceeding area. So like they went into the official area where people usually have to line up, you know, mm-hmm. to go if they want to go to these hearings. They got basically ushered in, they got a pass and they went in. So that would make sense. So it was a congressman, it was a Democrat that brought them in.
It's possible. You know, like I don't, all I can go by is what I see here. And I do know for a fact that sometimes congressmen, they bring some of their constituents in for events, pictures, meetings, and this could have been that, but I don't know. So I won't say it is or it wasn't. Just from this, you know, this is just not enough. I don't see a bunch of police officers there around them giving warnings. So now when I was with you, I was giving you a warning. I was giving you several warnings. I didn't see that here. So nobody was there. So this leads me to believe that this was this event was already planned.
Okay. Yeah, the cops showed up to actually get me. They showed up to get me. It was only one that day. It was mm-hmm. like five. It was five the next time. And I will just tell you this, in case you didn't follow up. I mean, there was no reason for you to. The judge tossed those charges from that day. Mm-hmm. I the judge, as soon as it got to his desk, he tossed them. What's and thank God he did. Who knows what they would have done to me? What's funny is, and I don't know, are you familiar with that D.C. jail where they take you?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I've been in a few prisons. I've been in a few jail cells. That is by far the worst jail I have ever been in. I mean, do you guys know how disgusting it is down there?
I heard it's pretty bad over there. Yes, I've heard.
It's a cockroach motel and graveyard. This is how bad, like literally if you fall asleep, you're going to wake up with cockroaches all over you. All the dead ones are still smashed on the walls and the windows. There's no airflow. Mm. You're sleeping on a metal pan. They don't give you anything to sleep on. There's really no access to anything to eat or drink. You have to beg a guard to get that. It was so bad. The people in the cell, because you can't see the people around you. The people in the cell next to me, you can only hear them. There was a fight because I guess the guy was like brushing cockroaches off of himself, off of his bed, and they kept landing on the guy beneath him.
Ouch.
And he was like, stop putting the cockroaches. And then eventually he fought. He like got up and he started fighting him because he kept throwing cockroaches on him. I don't know if it was intentional or not. So, I mean, it was the worst. And then I never get sick. I was sick for almost a week, like 10 days after that. I don't know if it was COVID or anything. I don't know. Maybe they poisoned me. But I was sick for 10 days after that. Couldn't get out of bed. I mean, that was the worst jail. I mean, it's like inhumane in there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you guys hear?
I heard it's bad. And sometimes we arrest prisoners and sometimes we arrest them for something else. And because I was on patrol division at before I got promoted to lieutenant some years prior to that. And sometimes when you arrest them, then they would tell you some of the stories about how bad it was in there.
The guy who I ended up sharing a cell with, I was in there alone for a bit. And then the guy ended up coming in. This is a guy you guys busted. I guess the D.C. police had busted a couple times for drug charges, and then he got caught with a gun he wasn't allowed to have. So that's what he was in there for. And, yeah, he knew all about it. He was kind of giving me the ropes about it before we eventually got released. But let me ask you this then. Let's kind of look at the larger picture because we see protests in the Capitol all the time. And, again, you weren't really political when you were a Capitol police. Is that fair to say?
Very fair to say.
Okay, so you're not really thinking about it from a political aspect. Maybe now you kind of view it differently. But we see people go into the Capitol and do these protests all the time. I mean, whether it's, you know, the climate change protesters, you had the pink vagina hat wearing protesters. Recently, you have the pro-Palestine protesters. What is the approach to a scene like that when a mass of people shows up? By the way, these are all leftist groups. What is the approach to that for Capitol Police?
I would say we like to prepare. If we know in advance, then we'll have the proper, we'll prepare for arrest, even if we don't have any. We'll try to seek out whoever's in charge of the group. So we'll look for the leader of the group. And like we did this, I've done a gazillion of these. So we will look for the person in charge of the group and we'll ask them, do you guys plan on getting arrested? And some of them will say, yes. They'll have their bond money already.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll let us know.
That's an important thing. Yeah. They already have their bond money ready to go. Yes. Like it's an organized thing. They're ready to get bailed out.
Yeah. So every situation is different, you know, but we'll typically seek out whoever's in charge of the group. We'll ask them. Sometimes they tell us, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'll even have an attorney there watching everything and videotaping everything, you know, and then they'll let, you know, sometimes they'll let us know, hey, I'm an attorney, I'm watching, making sure you don't violate their rights. So every situation is different. Like your situation was different than other arrests that I've made, but every situation is different.
Yeah. And, you know, that's interesting, too, because a lot of times, and I'm sure you've seen it, they have like the phone number written on their arm and everything because they're ready to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would argue that everybody should be allowed to protest at the Capitol. And that would probably make a bad environment for you guys because then it would be every day. Right. So, I mean, you could have a debate with that. I would argue it's a First Amendment right, but I'm kind of on the purist side of the First Amendment. It's
not
argument.
You get no argument from me because I think that it doesn't matter what side of the
as long as you're not violent.
As long as you're not violent. And then they do allow that at the Capitol. You can protest, but there are certain areas where you can demonstrate. There are certain areas where you can do that. Sometimes you have to go get a, you know, you have to go get a permit. We have a special event section. So if somebody wants to demonstrate there, they call special events and they'll let them know what they can and can't do.
Yeah, and I've heard of that before, and I've also heard of where was it? There was somewhere where they would have free speech zones marked off at some of these events. It would literally be a free speech zone. And it's like America should be a free speech zone. I mean, I don't agree with these groups' message at all, but yet I would stand on their right to protest. I would stand on their right to be there protesting at the Capitol as long as they're not violent. So how do you decide then when these things get big and you have to start making arrests? Is it just like a, you know, just pick who you arrest, or how do you guys decide who gets arrested? Is it just who's the fastest to get out of there?
No, we try to get everybody, you know? Okay. So, yeah, so we'll bring, it depends. If there's 20 people or 30 people, then, you know, we have to bring a bunch of officers. We'll probably activate a CDU team or Alpha Bravo team, officers who are delegated to be at a certain place if we have a situation. And then we'll grab arrest kits, and then we'll start, you know, and then even later on, we start bringing video cameras so we can film the people too. So sometimes you might see Capitol Police officer actually filming the entire thing. And then we'll start making arrests at that point. I haven't been there. No, I mean, I've been there I was there for 23 and a half years.
At the Capitol?
Capitol Police.
Okay.
So I worked at different places, you know, sometimes at the Capitol, sometimes on the House Division, Senate Division. I worked a lot of different units there. But I've never seen anybody run away. So typically, like, when they're there, they're there, and then we'll just arrest them. I've never seen anybody run away. And then we'll get them all. And then we'll, you know, put them in flex cuffs, and we'll take them away.
Where do they go?
We take them to the – it depends. If it's a mass arrest
– yeah, because they don't have room in that D.C. jail. Those are tiny.
Well, a lot of those people, they don't even see the jail.
Like, that's what I was told. Right.
They don't even see the
jail. They get their citation and they get released.
And they get released right there on the scene because they can't. You know,
not me, though.
Yeah, we've done like 400 people and then, a mass arrest, and we'll have to, because we can't house all those people.
Right. Well, and that, when we were doing the, when we were looking into all of this stuff, because we were trying to have my case dismissed based off of political persecution, which I still believe is the truth, and the evidence is there. But that's what we discovered, is most of the people that either have the charges that I have or just get arrested at the Capitol for whatever, you know, any demonstration, they usually get their citation and released, which I think is fair. Obviously, I didn't get that treatment. All right. Now, here's what I want to do. We're about to take a short break. I want to talk about why you became a January 6th whistleblower. But I also want to talk about something as we're leading up to the election now with, 11 days to go. I want to talk about something that not a lot of people talk about. And I wonder if... were you on the ground during the Trump inauguration in 2017?
Yes.
Okay, I really want to talk to you about that because nobody talks about the violence that happened that day, and I'm concerned we could have a similar story at Trump's inauguration in 2025. Officer Tariq Johnson, he arrested me one time, but I forgive him. I forgive him and I love him. We'll be right back.
History is happening now. We are just weeks away from the most important election, not just in our lifetimes, but in history. And the EU is now trying to take over X and Elon Musk's other companies for, quote, allowing free speech. The Democratic Party has filed in federal court to take my name and Real Alex Jones on X. InfoWars could be shut down as early as November 13th. But regardless, I am going to continue fighting on. I'll never surrender. If I'm homeless on the side of the road, I'll be preaching about the New World Order and exposing the whole globalist agenda and trying to stop World War III and the pedophile rings and everything that we've been exposing for so long. And now the Pentagon comes out under orders from whoever's in control of the White House. It's been a coup, as you know, and says, yeah, we're preparing for martial law and for killing Americans. Then they blame Trump and say he's planning that. Everything I've talked about, unfortunately, has now come true because the globalists made good on their promises decades ago to bring in this tyranny. But for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction in Newtonian physics. There's a giant awakening happening. Everybody sees it. Populists are getting elected around the world. The tyrants are in trouble. They know the initiative has turned against them. So, it's critical online to engage in free speech and to support InfoWars, but it's also critical in the third dimension on the street to exercise your free speech. So our great sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, no matter what happens to InfoWars, is going to ensure that I stay on air and that if we get enough funds, the crew continues on, the other shows, our investigators, the special reports, everything that reach tens of millions of people a day. So I'm going to do my job. I'm humbly asking you to do yours, keep spreading the word, pray for the operation, and support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. There are so many new great t-shirts made by one of the top Patriot designers out there, Bigley, at thealexjonesstore.com. This one, Rebellion to Tyrants is Obedience to God. It's got the new backup site that's being built out, realalexjones.com, and so much more. Let me show you some of the other new shirts that just came in. Now the FDA came out a month ago and said fluoride does lower your IQ and does cause cancer and doesn't help your teeth. So we brought back the classic, there's poison in the tap water. Now the public's ready to be awakened. It's being removed all over the country. Get the shirt, thealexjonesstore.com, and save some lives. We've got this limited edition election bad boy. I'm with the outlaw and the hillbilly at thealexjonesstore.com. Limited edition fentanyl the dragon. Hello, stupid Americans. If you want to meet like-minded people and trigger tyrants, the I Love Alex Jones shirt will surely do it. Many of these designs come from fan requests, like this one, the Alex Jones Was Right jar. I've just shown you a few of the amazing designs at thealexjonesstore.com. We're adding new ones all the time. So check out the great designs, keep the broadcast on the air, and promote freedom in America and worldwide. Thank you all for your support. Now please go to thealexjonesstore.com.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWars MD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance, or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor or just take our word for it and check out the InfoWars MD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Making talk radio great again. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Now, I admire Officer Johnson. I don't blame him for my arrest. But I admire him because now, despite all the backlash that he got at the time, he ended up testifying in front of Congress about January 6th, and obviously he has intimate knowledge about what went on behind the scenes that day as a Capitol Police officer. He was also working for Capitol Police during the Trump inauguration of 2017, so I want to talk about that and maybe some anticipation of 2025. But, you know, January 6th to me is one of the biggest propaganda pieces against the American people for multiple reasons, mostly because the real narrative doesn't reflect what actually happened that day. And I guess I would ask the question to kind of start the conversation like this. If you guys had known, because you told me in the break, you guys had no idea what was going on. You guys were not properly informed. You did not get the intelligence. You did not have the proper preparations for that day. Had there been preparations, had there been intel shared with lieutenants like you, had there been an extra effort to bring in more police, National Guard, whatever, do you think that any of that ever happens?
No, 100%. And I wanted to correct you on something earlier. I have not testified in front of Congress. They won't let me.
Oh, really?
No. And if you go.
So where did I see that? Where were you testifying then?
I've never testified.
That wasn't you?
No.
I must be thinking of some other Capitol Police officer.
No.
Because they've. So, okay. So that's what it is. But they only call the ones that want to testify against Trump.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, yeah, okay.
And I can tell you this. There are the intel.
That's insane to me.
Yeah. And yes. But this is hard to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't know if you guys want to play some music. And this is why I quit the Capitol Police. My last day, I quit on September the 23rd of, September the 23rd of 2022. And the Capitol Police is one of the most corrupt agencies in the country. It's no question. And I mean that, and I'll say it again, just to be clear, the Capitol Police is one of the most corrupt agencies in the country.
And you worked there for 2 decades.
I worked there for 2 decades, but I didn't know. So now, and when I say the corrupt, is not the frontline officers or officials, it's the higher ups. Two of those people right now still work there. J. Thomas Manger, he's the chief of the Capitol Police now, and Sean Gallagher, he's the assistant chief. Two of the most corrupt people in the country. We can prove it. So now, on J6, there was intel funneled to Yogananda Pittman, who was then the chief of the intelligence section, IICD, and Sean Gallagher, who was her deputy. So those two were the two most ranking members of the Capitol Police that had the intelligence. Now, the intelligence that they had told them what was going to happen that day. So they looked at the intelligence and they sat on intelligence.
So they're anticipating at least 500,000 people. They knew people were going to be marching to the Capitol. They knew there were events planned outside of the Capitol. They had all of this. They had that intel.
Owen, they had more than that. They knew that the Capitol was going to be broken into. They knew that people were going to be running in the tunnels, that the reports that they had said some people may want to kill officers, and they did not give that information to the Operations Bureau Commander, Chad Thomas, or Chief Stephen Sun, the chief of the Capitol Police. And let
now,
me go.
Sun did testify. Is that correct?
He did. Not as a whistleblower. He testified, and he did not testify to the failures of Sean Gallagher and Yogananda Pittman, because he was probably still learning some more stuff. But he didn't testify in front of the J6 Select Committee. I didn't testify in front of the J6 Select Committee. Now, there were 5 intel Capitol Police whistleblowers who went to the IG to let them know that, hey, listen, Yogananda Pittman and Sean Gallagher had this intel, and they didn't disseminate the information. So you know what Sean Gallagher did and Yogananda Pittman did? They fired all the intel agents. Anybody that said anything negative about them, they terminate them. Now, those intel agents are watching your show right now. They're watching right now. I sent them the message, told them it's on right now. The ones they fired.
Now, and they're welcome to come on the show as well.
They can't, because if they come on the show, then they lose whistleblower protection. So now the Capitol Police is trying to stop.
So they are talking then, potentially.
They reported it to the IG. The IG went back and told Yogananda Pittman that you have these rogue intel analysts reporting the malfeasance, which you did. And then they fired the guys. They fired them all.
I mean, that's insane. That's like saying, hey, we know somebody's going to come to the Capitol and try to burn it down. And then you say, well, I'm not going to tell anybody. And then if they burn it down, it's like, well, you're partially responsible for that.
Yes. And then it's crazy because one of the two individuals, which I named Sean Gallagher, he went and he told Chuck Schumer, one of his staff members, what was going to happen. But he wouldn't tell the chief or of the actual Capitol Police, or he wouldn't tell the chief of the police. Now, days before January 6th, you had Stephen Sun trying to go get National Guard assistance on the grounds that day. But Paul Irving, who works for Nancy Pelosi, told him, and he did not have the intelligence that would support the National Guard needing to be there. Pittman and Gallagher had it the whole time. Wouldn't give it to him, because if you have the National Guard there, January 6th doesn't happen. And they needed January 6th to happen. And the two people that I named were the two that got promoted after January 6th.
Of course, because they did a great job in giving the Democrats exactly what they wanted that day. And just so people kind of understand the full spectrum here, Pelosi is in charge of the Capitol Police. Muriel Bowser is in charge of D.C. Police and the National Guard. And both of those two stood down knowing there were going to be 1 million people in D.C., knowing even things I'd never heard before, that there was a known threat even that day. and they still did not give the help. So what's crazy to me, and you can expand on that too before I give you my follow-up, what's crazy about that is from hearing you today is that you kind of, it sounds like the general Capitol Police like yourself were going into that day not really anticipating or expecting anything. I mean, were you stunned when this all went down?
I thought it was supposed to be a nothing day. I planned on leaving early that day. Thought it was nothing. I got absolutely no intel. It was, I didn't even go to, I got to work late that day because I knew it was nothing. So I got to the office probably a little bit after 7 because typically if there's something big or are we planning for something, then I'm going to get there right at 7 o'clock, a little earlier, maybe even 6:30. But that was a nothing day. So no, we had no idea. The officers on the ground had no idea. The only people that knew were the, was the commanders of the intelligence section, Yogananda Pittman and Sean Gallagher.
Where were they?
Where were they?
Yeah.
They were in the command center watching everything unfold on CCTV.
So is that in the Capitol?
That's about 3 blocks from the Capitol is our police headquarters building.
Okay. Is that where I probably spent the night in prison?
That's exactly. Well, no. You wouldn't have spent the night there. They probably took you to CCB.
Okay.
So, yeah. But you probably got originally processed and then they put you in a van or something and then they took you over to that place.
Yes. Okay.
That's what happened.
So they're not even on scene.
They're watching it.
When, at what point in time that day, where were you exactly on that day? And at what point in time did you realize, okay, something big is about to happen here?
When I heard on the radio that the front line was breached, the fence line was breached. And the other issue was that once that fence line went down, anybody that came over into the restricted area, even if they didn't know it, and broke the law. So, but even though they didn't mean to, they didn't know, but when they walked over into that grassy area, they were already breaking the law, even though they didn't know. But that's when I knew. And then I knew it was even bad when I was begging and screaming for help on the radio, and Yogananda Pittman, who was there, Sean Gallagher, who was there, both had the intel, would not give me any help.
And these comms are going to Central. They're going to Central. They're hearing.
They hear everything. Yeah, and it's even worse. Okay, so now, you know Ashley Babbitt.
Yes.
Okay, so I evacuated. I don't know if you know this, but I was the one that made the call to evacuate the Capitol. So I made the call to evacuate.
And is that the emergency service eventually that went out?
No, it was a call to get the members of Congress out of the building.
Oh, you mean
over
the members
the
of Congress.
Yes.
Okay, got
yes.
you.
And then I led those evacuations with the help of the officers. So I called for the evacuation of the Senate at 2:28, approximately 2:28. I called for the evacuation of the House at approximately 2:36. If Yogananda Pittman or Sean Gallagher would have helped me with the evacuations at 2:28, Ashley Babbitt would have never got shot. Because by the time she made it up to the House floor, Mike Byrd wouldn't have been there. He would have left with the last member of Congress.
So they were still clearing them out at that time.
Yes, because Pittman wouldn't even help me. Gallagher wouldn't help. Now, the reason why I didn't do it at the same time is because I was on the Senate side. So I could physically see an exit route. On the House side, I wasn't there, so I couldn't see an exit route to get the members of Congress out. And not to save everybody from an insurrection, to de-escalate the situation, because it could get bad if the demonstrators get in there, they encounter some of the members of Congress, they could argue. So just get the members of Congress out of the building to de-escalate the situation. So I'm calling on the radio, begging for help. All these are, the radio transmissions are public. You can go listen to them anytime you want. So begging for help. And they just flat out ignore me. So now, and this is the other issue. So where Pittman and Gallagher were, they could see everything on both sides of the building. So they could see if there was an exit route on the House side and the Senate side.
Because they got all the cameras right there.
They got all the cameras. The cameras like this room right here, television cameras all over.
And there's like 100 cameras, but probably more at the Capitol.
Yes. So they can see everything. And they're just looking and they would not help. And so then that's when I called Senator Leahy after January 6th to tell him they were letting it happen. I listened to the radio and then and this is before I knew about the intel failures. And then I found out later from the intel whistleblowers that they had the information all along. And I didn't know that.
So gut instincts while all this is going on, the scenes you just described, the actions that you're taking, your gut instincts are what? What are you thinking at this time?
That they were letting it happen. And that scares me, which is why, knowing that the Capitol Police was corrupt, I couldn't stay there anymore. I was 17 months from full retirement and I resigned. Now, if you look up and just to really bring home the fact that they're corrupt, I don't know if you can put my Twitter handle up. Somebody can find my Twitter handle and put it up. I have it pinned to my profile about Sean Gallagher. Sean Gallagher, about 10 years ago, led a money stealing scheme where he stole thousands of dollars with other commanders from the Capitol Police, stole it. And then when they caught him, they just made him give the money back. I think the chief did a declination of non-prosecution so they wouldn't put him in jail.
But this is on record?
Yes. And Steve Baker, I don't know if you, do you know who Steve Baker is?
Yeah, I know he was sentenced. I don't know if he's served his time yet.
Now, Steve Baker is a reporter, and he broke this story. And then if you pull that story up and read that story, Sean Gallagher is one of the biggest criminals in the country. And if you read this, they let him off. He didn't even get arrested. He didn't get prosecuted, nothing. He is super powerful. When I tell you how powerful Sean Gallagher is, Sean Gallagher is watching this show right now. He's watching right now. So what he did in this money stealing scheme was he should have been in jail. At the very least, fired. He got promoted after this money stealing scheme. 3 times.
I feel like there's probably a lot of this that goes on in D.C. It's crazy when I hear you tell the stories, mm-hmm. and then it's like these are the people that probably should have lost their jobs. Instead, they get promoted. That seems to be the trend
Yes. Whenever
you follow big stories like this. Okay, so, I mean, this is just wild. We're getting more information. I've never heard you tell the story this in detail. And I'm sure it was a shocking thing because, you know, I've had similar experiences where, for me, it's different, obviously, as a reporter. Mm-hmm. But it's like I'll be on the scene of a big event. And, you know, in the midst of it, your adrenaline is going, whoa, okay. And then you get home and you take a deep breath and you flip on the news and they're telling a completely different story. And that's when, for me, when I was younger and first getting into political media, that was like my big thing of like, oh my gosh, like they really don't tell the truth in the news, or they don't even know, or they don't even try to. How does that apply to your experience on January 6th? And so it's like you're in the heat of the moment. It's like, whoa, are they standing down? Are they letting this happen? And then finally the day kind of calms down. You hang your hat up, you go home, you sit down, you take a deep breath, you tune into the news. What was that like processing the event afterwards like for you?
That's all I did, because after January 6th, I didn't sleep for 2 days. So I just couldn't sleep. I kept watching the television, didn't want to miss anything. I just, you know, I was a dead man walking after January 6th. Didn't know my left and my right. And then, you know, so then I did get a day of sleep probably on Friday night into Saturday. And then that's when I made the call to Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont. And the reason why, I figured he was a Democrat. So January 6th was a violent insurrection. So let me call and tell him that doing this violent insurrection, the commanders in the command center did nothing. They were letting it happen, which scared me.
You thought that they would want to know that?
I thought they'd want to know that. And then within an hour after I got off the phone with Senator Leahy, the Capitol Police drove to my house, suspended me, took my police powers, gun, everything, badge. And I was on house arrest basically for 17 months. I couldn't leave the house from the hours of 8 in the morning to 4 p.m. because I was on administrative leave. But I had to stay in the house. I couldn't go out for a run, nothing. If I stepped off my property, I had to call the Capitol Police to let them know that I was off my property. If I left the house, I had to leave the Capitol Police a telephone number where I could be reached at all times, even if I was on vacation.
That's stricter probation than they had me on.
It was horrible.
I just had to pee in a cup every month.
I wish that's all I had to do, but it was terrible. I had to call every single day to see if they needed anything at 8 o'clock in the morning. If I missed my call at 8 o'clock, then they would charge me vacation time if I missed my call at 8 o'clock.
It's, you know,
I was like that for 17 months.
You see this, right? You see it in TV shows, the movies, whatever. Turn in your badge, turn in your gun, and it's a big scene. It's crazy. I mean, I just had another great American, Zach Apotheker, Border Patrol. They did the exact same thing to him, took his gun, took his badge. They're doing the exact same thing to you. It's like if you're a good American, if you're like an upstanding member of society and you care, that's the ones they come after. But if you steal money, it seems like you get a promotion.
And the good thing is the stuff that I told you about Sean Gallagher, they can't keep it hidden so much longer. They just want to keep everything under wraps until after the election, because Sean Gallagher and Yogananda Pittman did what they did to gain the favor of Nancy Pelosi. I don't know if you really know, but Nancy Pelosi hates Donald Trump. So
really?
Yeah, she
does.
This
is news to me.
Yes. So I don't know, so I'm not going to assume you know. Yeah. So I just wanted, so they did it you know, I believe they did it to, you know, to gain her favor and to get promotion and financial favors from her down the road. Which Yogananda Pittman actually went and got a job at California Berkeley as the police chief over there, making, I think, $282,000 a year. And she's getting her Capitol Police pension. Sean Gallagher.
So she's making out real nicely. Yes. And I'm sure the UC Berkeley job is a lot easier than the Capitol Police job.
100%, I would say. And then Sean Gallagher got promoted to assistant chief. So he's now, he runs the Capitol Police now. And I'm telling you, like, now this is all going to come out, but they don't want this to come out until after the election. After, you know, because what these people did, they did it to embarrass Trump, to put January 6th on him, and it was not Trump. The Capitol Police Board is the people that would determine if the National Guard was going to be on the scene, not Donald Trump. If Donald Trump wanted 10,000 troops on the ground at the Capitol, he couldn't authorize that, because that's the Capitol Police Board, which was ran by Michael Stinger of the Senate, Sergeant at Arms, Paul Irving of the House Sergeant at Arms, the architect of the Capitol, and the police chief of the Capitol is a non-voting member. So that's the board. It's up to them to request the National Guard assistance, not Trump. And this was not, so January 6th was not on Donald Trump. It was on, you had two rogue commanders who were just greedy and unethical that wanted to gain the favor of Nancy Pelosi. That's what.
So, and I'm sure you're aware too. I mean, Trump requested the National Guard through the mayor of D.C., and he got rejected. Do you know anything about inside internally with the Capitol? Like, was there ever a demand for more police? Was there ever a demand for extra help? Or was it just total blockade? And so, I mean, really, you guys were, you on the ground, you, the officers, you guys were caught off guard.
And, 100%.
And then it was a situation, I mean, you just didn't have the numbers. I mean, it was just a sheer out, you couldn't, there was nothing you could do at that point.
Correct. Nothing we could do. And I would say this, Chief Stevenson tried desperately to get the assistance of the National Guard, but Michael Stinger, the Senate Sergeant at Arms, and Paul Irving of the House Sergeant at Arms, who worked directly for Nancy Pelosi, told Sun that he could not articulate the need for the National Guard. The intelligence wasn't there. But Pittman and Gallagher had it, would not give it to him. And you can ask Chief Sun, fact check me, ask Chad Thomas, and you can ask Chad Thomas, because Yogananda Pittman, when she took over the Capitol Police on January the 8th, she had Chad Thomas fired and forced him to sign an NDA, so he can't even speak about the events of January 6th.
Well, it's so crazy, too. When I try to talk about January 6th to other people, they just get so many of the facts wrong, or they just are outright lying. Like, they say that the police officer, I forget the gentleman's name, who died a couple days later from different health issues, they say, oh, he died because of the riots at the Capitol. It's just an outright lie. First, they said he got hit over the head with a fire extinguisher. Obviously, that never happened. And so there's all kinds of different things. Here's a question I have for you, because the videos are everywhere. Again, this is one of those things that I bring up, and people just say, oh, no, it didn't exist. It didn't happen. Well, it's on video, and I can understand, but this is why I'll ask you. I mean, my reasoning is, okay, why did the police eventually remove some of the barriers and wave people in, or why at one point did they release the magnetic doors to let people in? I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, well, maybe it was to try to de-escalate, like, hey, they're overwhelming us. If we let them in and kind of just like try to lasso the situation, you know, maybe we can de-escalate. But I mean, that's on tape, and I don't know how much you know about that. But I mean, what leads to that process? Why were police officers at one point removing the barriers and waving people in? And what led to the decision to release the magnetic doors?
I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, like, the officers were just surprised about what occurred on January 6th as anybody else. They were caught off guard. They didn't have the intelligence. That particular incident, when you see the officer move the bike racks and wave people in, he moved the bike racks to wave other officers in, to tell them to hurry and come in the perimeter. Like, you know, like, I've been trying to tell everybody this, and I've been adamant about this on social media. The officers, Owen, and the demonstrators were all set up on January 6th. We were pawns in a bigger scheme. So we should all be on the same side. Yes, some things happened that day, and people get mad at me sometimes because I don't focus on the violence. Yes, there was violence, but what made that violence occur? It was withholding that intel that put all of us in the same situation. And we should be on the same side, officers and demonstrators alike.
That's why this is such a powerful interview to me. And I know you've done some other interviews as well, but that's why this is so powerful, because we're representing both sides of this. You're representing the Capitol Police side. I'm representing the other side of a January 6th defendant that spent time in prison, and we were all completely set up, and maybe we'll come back to that, but I want to ask a couple other things about that day. obviously there was some violence. Neither of us would deny that. Obviously there were some people that deserved to go to jail. You smash a window. Some people got into confrontations with police as well. I mean, I wouldn't sit here and defend them and say that they're innocent. Overall, though, you can either speak to yourself specifically or more of a general attitude. And I don't know how many other police officers you've kind of spoke to about this, but I mean, did you feel threatened that day? Were officers really feeling threatened that day, or was it really isolated pockets where it was bad?
No, I mean, if you ever have some time, and I can send it to you after the show is over, listen to the radio transmissions. If you listen to the radio transmissions, it was pandemonium, you know, and some of the fear was from demonstrators because they were fighting on the West Front, not as much as on the East Front until a little bit later. But yeah, I think they were scared. But I think some of the demonstrators were scared. I think that after, you know, some of the actions that the officers took. But we were all set up, you know, like, and then you basically gaslit it by not having enough people there. And that was done on purpose. The police, when you talk about police officers and the officer presence, we're there to protect, and like laws are there to protect people from themselves. So we should have had a greater presence there to protect the people from themselves, because if you would have saw a chain link of National Guard people, would you have tried to push past them? Probably not.
Or if they would have set up those huge barrier cages that they did afterwards, the 10-foot, you know, thick steel fence that they set up afterwards.
Correct. You know, even you didn't even need that. If you had enough officers there, if you had enough National Guard people there, if you even had a better preparation plan, it was a nothing day because we did not have the intelligence. The people who had the intelligence would not send it to the Operations Bureau to funnel it down. That's why January 6th occurred. That's why people are getting arrested. And then you have the assistant chief, who was Sean Gallagher. They're not going to let anybody testify. Like, have you ever heard of the term exculpatory evidence? That's there. But why Sean Gallagher is there, it's never coming out.
Well, that's why I'm so stunned, because they've called up all these January 6th people to testify. I guess I was thinking of a different interview you did, or I just saw the other officers, and I don't know. Maybe I just didn't put two and two together, because there have been we're going long here. We'll continue this conversation. I want to continue this. This is too important. But I want to follow up with some of the other things you said. And that you mentioned something that's so important that people don't talk about. Some of the actions of police officers there that made it worse, like firing smoke bombs into the crowd. And I could get it, like, they're afraid, and then the demonstrators are afraid, and then they're enraged. And that's where you saw a lot of the strife. So we'll come back and ask about that.
My mission on air is to tell the truth, to rally humanity, and fight the globalist. And we've done one of the best jobs out there thanks to your support. So we know InfoWars could easily be shut down on November 13th. We're going to find out. But regardless, we've got great sponsors that are backing us to make sure the message of liberty and freedom and the resistance to the WEF, Bill Gates, Barack Obama, King Charles, Kamala Harris, New World Order continues to be in their face, and continues to keep myself and the great crew at the tip of the spear. So, we have a great sponsor, the AlexJonesStore.com, with amazing t-shirts and caps and hoodies. They're really some of the best designs out there, and they fund the fight against the New World Order. But we've also brought you some of the very best supplements. And we could have had a whole huge line by now, but we want to go out to the very best companies and get agreements to private label already bestsellers that are the top rated. That way we know you're getting the best. So we've got the CMOS gummies, the CMOS capsules, Total Superfood. Then you have the Mega Superfood with over 90 ingredients, the Optimal Human. It's the best of the green drinks out there, hands down. Plus, the energy is amazing. That's all at thealexjonesstore.com. But now we are announcing the Ultimate Probiotic. That's the line, Ultimate. And it's just a very high-quality probiotic, the foundation that everybody needs at a very affordable price. Upwards of 50% off when you buy multiple bottles. Big sales. Everything's at least 30% off when it comes to the supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a high-end, quality probiotic that helps your gut be healthier, helps you absorb nutrients better, helps your whole immune system, and you will find Ultimate Probiotic with 60 billion, that's a very high number if you don't know about probiotics, at thealexjonesstore.com. A whole bunch of other great stuff's coming out in the next few weeks, so continue to check out the URL, thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support. We salute you.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.